Hey, welcome to the Successful Songwriter Within podcast. I'm your host, Lisa McEwen. I'm a Nashville published songwriter and recording artist. In this podcast, I'm here to help take you from intimidated, anxious, insecure, and frustrated to self-assured, prolific, and successful with your songwriting abilities. I've written with Grammy Award-winning writers, had numerous cuts and placements, but it wasn't long ago that I was an anxious, insecure songwriter, afraid to speak up during co-writes and feeling not worthy enough to fulfill my dreams. I created Music and Mindfulness because here's where I was at. I knew how to write a song, but what I was lacking was the inner confidence and intuitive connection. Once I started applying mindfulness techniques to my music life, everything changed. And now it's my mission to help you on your musical journey. If you're ready to tap into and align with your inner genius, go to my website, musicandmindfulness.co, for a free tutorial where I show you how to do just that. So stick around, because I got tips, back pocket techniques, stories, interviews, and more. You ready to get where you're going? Let's do it. Hey, hey, I'm back for another episode, and I'm really excited as usual. I know I can't help myself. I get so excited for these episodes. So today we are going to talk about how you can't act like the 99% and expect the results of the 1%. So what am I kind of referring to? I know that most of you know what I'm talking about, but they say that 1% of the population earns about 99% of the wealth. There's that small sliver of people kind of dominating. And I think the same thing goes for successful people. There's that little tiny sliver amount of people who are kind of dominating in their field. So, I mean, hey, this might be a bit of an exaggeration, 1%. I've also read 5%, but we're going to go with 99 and 1 for today to keep it simple. So I came across an article that talked about what that 1% does differently in order to attain success. All right, so I'm really looking forward to unpacking this. So we're gonna get to the habits of that 1% in a minute. But first, let's talk about what the 99% does. Now, this is referring to basically everyone in the population who isn't at the top cheese, top little sliver of those successful peeps in whatever industry you're in. And obviously we're talking about the music and music industry for this purpose of this episode. So now let's take a general look at what they're doing with their time. Now, would you say it's safe to say that about 99% of people are spending their extra time watching Netflix and scrolling? Well, I would say so. And hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I love me a good rabbit hole scroll every once in a while. In fact, my husband just said to me last night, I was looking at my phone and I must have got caught up in something. And he said, oh, you gone down a rabbit hole? And I said, yeah, I don't know how I get caught up in these things. It's very easy to get sucked into these little social media rabbit holes every once in a while, right? But people who live differently and succeed above most are living their lives differently. They live their lives differently in order to get different results than everyone else. So this article went on to ask, are you going to the gym at 9:30 in the morning or 6 p.m. like everyone else? Or are you up before the sun and at the gym nice and early? Now, side note, I have no idea when people are at the gym because I don't go. Now, I work out at home, but when I do, it's before everyone else in my house gets up. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but what this article was pointing out that I found so interesting was that in order to get different results, you have to start doing things differently than how you've always been doing them. If you want to get the same results that you've always been getting, then carry on. In fact, you can just go ahead, turn off this episode if you've got everything squared away exactly how you'd like it in your life. Go ahead, I can wait. Now, I remember when I was writing in Nashville for my first publishing company, and all of us writers would roll in around 10 in the morning or so. You know, no hurry to get there, grab your coffee, go to the little lunchroom, grab your coffee, chit-chat, because, you know, usually co-writes were lined up for about 10:30 or 11 in the morning. But I do remember one of our staff writers being there every single time I would show up. So one day I remember asking him what time he came to the office. Are you ready for this? He said he'd usually arrive around 7 a.m. And I remember that he lived out of town. So it was a good 30, 40 minute drive. I'm sure there was no traffic at that time. But I mean, whoa, that was early. You know, for the average bear, we were rolling in a couple hours after him. So here he was in before everybody, working away on songs that he'd written earlier that week, tweaking them, coming up with new ideas for future songs. Now, this guy was doing things differently and was doing it well. And this really worked for him. And he went on to have some considerable hits. And then it also brought to mind this other awesome, amazing, number one hit songwriter in Nashville, friend of mine, Phil Barton. Now, he gave me some great advice that I'm always going to remember because I remember writing with him in his office a couple years ago, and I'd asked him how he was getting so many great cuts with Canadian artists. I mean, I'm talking tons. Like every time I would look at his social media, oh, there I go, down the rabbit hole again. He was posting another bunch of cuts that he'd gotten, specifically with these Canadian people. So I asked him and he said, he told me that he started doing things a little differently. Now, usually songwriters on Music Row, we typically would write during the day and during the week and then take weekends off and evenings, you know, you go out to some shows, or you go home with your family and whatnot, just treating it kind of like that 9-to-5 thing. But Phil realized that there's lots of Canadian artists and they were coming down on writing trips. And just like the rest of Nashville, these Canadian artists were booked to write with tons of people during the week, but on the weekends, they were holed up in their hotel rooms looking for something to do. So what did Phil do? Well, he suggested that they write on weekends and evenings with these Canadian artists. And so what did that do for Phil? It got him a huge track record, which in turn made industry heads turn even more, which just continued to snowball into more and more success. He saw this hole, this sort of need, and a way of doing things differently. And in turn, it made him hugely successful. Now, all right, I get it. Before I make you feel like you have to turn into a workaholic, you know, working 9-to-5 and then 5-to-9, please know that's not always the case. I'm just pointing out that Phil and this other writer friend of mine, for example, they were just doing things differently, which got them different results. Now, do you need to work like crazy on your craft in order to get these results? Well, maybe you do. I don't know. I can't answer that for you. But I think more importantly, you need to take a little more time to reflect and see what you can do in your life slightly differently in order to get those different results. Have you also noticed that extremely successful people are very decisive? They're also very focused and productive. Do you guys love that show Shark Tank? I just love it. I could watch it nonstop. I just find it so inspiring and I love watching all the sharks try and figure out how their minds are working, you know, which ones are going to bet on deal. Sometimes I think I got it figured out and then I'm like, oh, they don't even go for that deal at all. But they're watching all of these entrepreneurs pitch their business ideas and then they're deciding, these sharks are deciding, with a moment's notice whether they want to invest thousands of dollars into these potential businesses and who they're going to go in with it on. Like, I mean, it happens within minutes, it feels like, right? Now, I think that's really incredible. And I used to be an extremely indecisive person. Just ask my husband, because when we first started dating, he teased me on how long it would take me to decide on what to order off the menu when we went out for dinner. Here I was thinking, heaven forbid I order something and it comes and then I sit there and regret wishing I'd ordered something else. And this was just food. I mean, come on. So crazy when I think back on it. Do you wish you were more decisive? I feel like these days I'm definitely much more decisive. I know that I can literally listen to my intuition. I can get the answer I need and make the decision pretty well on the spot. I also know that if it's the wrong quote unquote choice, that I can pivot and move forward knowing that the decision wasn't wrong. It was something that led me to the next step. And I have to say, my mindfulness practices have led me to living my life this way. So here's the thing, you guys. Here's what mindfulness practices do for you. They actually help us filter through all of the crazy chaos of the mind so that we can actually have clarity on what's important. All of that noise that's going on right now, don't you just wish you could turn it off or at least turn it down? You totally can. Let's look at it this way. You incorporate mindfulness practices into your life. You keep practicing them and filter the chaos. Then you start to get clarity on what's important. And then you start to do things differently. And then you start to become more productive in less time. And then what do you start to see? More success in your life. I mean, it's no wonder that these people like I'm talking about from Shark Tank and so many other areas, they have these sort of qualities, they're able to get to these places quicker and more effectively. Now, here's another thing to consider. Our brains are wired to make decisions based on a bias from things that have happened in the past. We also make decisions within our comfort zone. I know that you know this because it's like a protective measure. You know, our brains want to keep us safe. I talk about this all the time. Doing things that have worked for us in the past. So they're kind of like, okay, your brain's going, I know this worked before, so let's just do it again and stay safe. And as I mentioned earlier, doing the same things to get the same or safe results, I mean, that's just how it goes. But mindfulness can actually help to develop mental agility in order to make decisions outside of our comfort zone. So if you want to be that person who makes quick decisions and ones that can take you to a higher place than you've ever been before, because hello, remember, you've never been there. That's why you don't keep choosing those new things, because you've never been there before. It doesn't feel safe for your brain. But with mindfulness practices, you can get there. And that's how it's done. Now, I want to give you my own personal example of how these practices have helped me on my own road to success. So before I found all of this stuff, mindfulness stuff, anytime that things didn't go the way that I planned, you know, if I didn't land the audition, I used to do musical theater, or didn't get the big cut, or the industry meeting didn't produce anything fruitful, I would feel so down on myself, questioning my talents and, you know, all the things that I had to offer. Well, recently I did a big music pitch, and let's just say things didn't go the way that I planned. I spent the whole rest of the day questioning things, just like before. You know, did I say things wrong? Should I have said things totally differently? Is this even worth pursuing? I put so much time and energy into this one project that I thought maybe I just would be better off calling it quits and not going forward. Like, it's not working. You know, why bother subjecting myself to this in the future? Maybe it's just never going to work. So I just honestly was like, maybe I'm not cut out for this. So I decided to sleep on it. And the next day, I felt like I had a fresh perspective. And you know what occurred to me? What occurred to me is that the people who are the sharks in Shark Tank, they don't just sit around sulking after things don't go as they planned. They debrief. They look back on what they did. They make note of what went well and what didn't, what they could change for next time, how they should approach things in the future, and then they evaluate what to do next. Okay, sure, maybe they sulk for a day or two or whatever, but then they get out of their own way and they start thinking pragmatically. All right, let's talk quickly about Katy Perry. You know I love her. So have you guys ever watched her documentary from 2012? So trust me, this all works out and makes sense here. So in it, she shares how she had signed two separate record deals, being dropped by both before she signed on with her current deal with Capitol. In those two previous deals, she had a different look, a different sound, essentially a totally different brand. I'm sure that it was heartbreaking to have been signed to a deal and finally feel like you're going to make it and then be let go and then do it again. With another label, and again, the same story. And then finally, the third time was obviously a charm. So I'm thinking that once the first deal fell apart, she probably took time to evaluate on what worked and what didn't. And using that knowledge, she made better decisions moving forward. Because obviously, as you can see with her evolution of, you know, how she looked, and I'm not talking just her look, but her sound and just how everything was presented, right? It's like, hey, what's working? What's not? Let's move in a different direction. So you can't stay stuck if you're constantly moving forward, gaining more clarity and taking another step in the right direction. This is how successful people do it. They don't sulk for long. They take their loss for what it is and then they use it. There is always an opportunity to learn and grow. And yes, it can be frustrating. I was totally frustrated when things didn't go as I planned, and I always am, but not for long anymore. Once you start to really tune into yourself and you realize that your solid foundation is already a part of you, and you just have to take the small effort to tune into it, those so-called frustrating events, they just don't stay with you that long. You know, people come into your life that you realize are meant to be there, and doors start to open for you that you wouldn't have been able to imagine in your wildest dreams. And things that bother you now just tend to be soft background noise eventually. They just don't matter. You know, now I see all of it, the good, the bad, as an opportunity on how I can change things so that I can do things more effectively for the long game. Because you want to be in it for the long game. You don't want to cut corners. You want to be able to figure it out. Fit the right pieces together, even if they take a while to find, and create that full picture puzzle for life. Do you have an effective way of being productive with your music, or are you stuck in that overwhelming chaos of it all? Are you good at making decisions, or do you let the humming and hawing eat away at you, taking away the precious time that is now? Do you have a good mindfulness practice in place to get you more clarity, productivity, and feeling good, creating from a place of abundance? These are some questions you need to sit with. If you want to succeed and be a part of that small percentage, I know you can do it. You're only a few small and simple mindfulness changes away from it. Now, before we wrap this show with a song, if you found this episode helpful or inspirational, I would love if you could help me out and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. What this does is help me to be more visible to other people so I can help other people. It's nice and it's easy. Just go to Apple Podcasts, the app, click on the show icon, not the episode icon, the show icon, scroll to the bottom where you'll see ratings and reviews. Please leave me a 5-star review and a note, and you will be entered to win a 1-on-1 coaching session with me. You know what's fun too? Take a screenshot of the episode and share it on your social media, and don't forget to tag me in it for an extra entry ballot. All right, today I'm going to leave you with a song. I have played this before on the show, I believe, but this is a song I wrote with Phil Barton and Victoria Banks, and this is called One Way Ticket. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope you were inspired and got some great little takeaways. Have an amazing week, and thank you for being the best part of music and mindfulness.
They say you only live once, just so many trips you get around the sun. That's the way it is, and when it's done, that's all she wrote. Curtains closed, credits roll, time runs out, yeah. Cause life is just a one-way ticket, there ain't no point if your heart's not in it. All that you get out of it is what you give it, so give it all you got, there's only one shot. Life is just a one-way ticket. Your story gonna say, don't take it for granted, not a single day. So place your bets, no regrets, when the sun sets tonight. Hey, cause life is just a one-way ticket, there ain't no point if your heart's not in it. All that you get out of it is what you give it, so give it all you got, there's only one shot. Life is just a one-way ticket. So take